Hey, I invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 4 in just a little bit. I titled my sermon today, A Christmas Landing. Now, I think most of you are aware, either here or that follow us live stream, and welcome, good to have you, that when I talk about a Christmas landing, I'm not going to be sharing today about Santa wrestling to get his sleigh, you know, through a storm and landing on some precarious rooftop. I won't be talking about Rudolph, unless, of course, God has placed someone in your life named Rudolph. And the reason I say that, we're going to see when I read this passage of scripture. It'll help you understand where I'm going with the thoughts about those relationships in our lives, right? But let me read 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, so that our joy may be made complete. When John writes these words to us, we've been studying the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings. It's just before God gives him this revelation. The letters that he writes are probably a couple years. He's an elderly man, he's writing these letters to the church, and what he's reminding us of is the incredible impact of Christmas. What is that incredible impact of Christmas? That God, the eternal Son, left heaven, came to earth in the fullness of the time that the Father had set forth. And what? He became man, Jesus of Nazareth, where the apostles could touch him and see him and hear him. And John is reminding us what? That incredible gospel, that good news of God's plan of salvation, was shared how? Together as the body of Christ. He says that we beheld him, and we want to share it with you because we want you to enjoy what it is that we have come into fellowship with, right? And John is reminding us of that. Jesus has been gone for 60 years when John writes this. And John says, what has kept our experience with him and the joy of it just still burning bright is the way we're sharing it with one another, and others have come in to this. It's how Christmas has landed in our lives, and we've shared it together. My hope is to encourage you today. We're living in a time of disconnect and a time of social distancing. And I want to remind us that the joy of Christmas, in John's words, is made complete when we experience it together, relationally, when we consider how we can share that with one another. You know, this past week when we had that snow, it's still out there. Our little dog Tootsie, you let her out back and she goes out on the ice. It was frozen on the top. And of course she goes out and, you know, you see her, she's running across it. Just, you know, she's light enough that she just doesn't pierce through it, and she's looking for a spot, and eventually she sort of starts spinning in a circle, you know, to kind of, and what do you have to do? I have to do what I've did in years past. You go shovel a little place, right, where you go out there into the grass and you break through it, shovel a little place down to the grass. I have to do what? I have to connect Tootsie to the earth, right? I have to give her a little landing. a little place where she can go, as you know what I'm saying, and that's all I'll say, right? But that landing spot. Well, John is saying to us what? That the beauty of Christmas is that God, the Christmas landing is what? Christ came to this earth, but God provided a patch of ground for me to have Christmas land into my life, right? He provides that landing place for the beauty of Christmas to begin a relationship between you and God the Father. But more than that, it's a landing place to be shared with other relationships in our life, right? That's what John reminds me of, that Jesus came to do what? To pierce through that cold barrier of sin that we couldn't do. We couldn't pierce through it. Jesus came to pierce through it, to provide us through redemption a Christmas landing, a landing place, the ground for us to meet God on through faith in Jesus, but also to what? To have our joy completed by doing what we're doing right here, sharing it together. And God always wraps kind of those two things together, right? He always wraps together that sense of our relationship with Him connected with how it's made complete with our relationships with one another. And so if you look at Exodus chapter 20, you turn back there, you may know that passage is where we're given the Ten Commandments. But in Exodus chapter 20, we see in verses 3 to 17 there, the Ten Commandments, but how do they begin? You shall have no other gods before me, verse 3. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Continues on, you shall set apart the Sabbath. The first half of the Ten Commandments are for what? Our relationship with God. But the second half of the Ten Commandments are what? Verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Verse 13, you shall not murder. The second half are about our relationships with one another. It's the same thing that Jesus brings out in when he gives us a prayer to pray. When he says to us, pray, our Father who art in heaven, as this relationship with our Father, and we pray to him, forgive us our sins, because only God can. Lord, only you're the one who truly can only bring us forgiveness. But as we pray in that relationship, what is connected with it? As we forgive those who trespass against us. Relationships. Relationship with the Father connects with our relationships to one another. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What was his answer? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That connection. And what the Christmas story reminds John of when he writes in 1 John is what he reminds me of as well, and it's this, the foundational purpose of our lives on earth is not personal survival. The foundational purpose of our lives is what? Relational impact. In other words, we're not here as Christians on this earth just to stay alive as long as we can. That can't be our life goal. In other words, if I just, my whole life, my purpose is to stay alive and I make it to 98, I made it to 98, I fulfilled my purpose. No, I haven't. Because as Christians, my foundational purpose for life is not staying alive. My foundational purpose is relational impact, to be growing in my relationship with God and to be growing in my relationship with others. Otherwise, God would save us and take us. He wouldn't just say, now do the best you can to stay alive for, you know there's this sense of what choosing relational impact over personal survival. Now, when I say that, I know this seems like a long introduction. This is really part of the sermon. I'm not just, you're waiting to hear point one or something. But when I say that, I want to make sure what you don't hear, I'm not saying since the purpose of our lives is not personal survival, but it's relational impact, then we need to disregard any social distancing, and we need to take off our masks, and we need to forget about quarantines. I'm not saying that. We as Christians should be the most humble people. We should be the ones displaying the greatest sense of humility, the greatest sense of consideration, the greatest sense of care for others, right? And a time of distancing can be part of that. But the point I'm making is how in that time of distancing, we as Christians need to what? To be careful that we don't withdraw into a cocoon of survival and we forget about our foundational purpose for why we're here, growing closer to God and growing with one another. We're here for relational impact. Now, I want to say, some of you are in the medical field, and you are displaying your care about relationships by distancing from others, by precautions that allow you to be there for the sick and to be there and to care about those individuals. I recognize that, right? You're prioritizing people's lives by distancing from other lives. And many are doing that with elderly parents or with those who are more vulnerable. But at the heart of it, what I want to make sure we get is this principle of what? That while we're living in a time of distancing and some disconnect, we as Christians have to stay intentional about our relationships. We have to stay intentional about building our relationships. I can't say, you know what? It's all about survival. I'll talk to all you people when this thing's over. There has to be a sense of what John says. The Christmas story is about this Christmas landing that God gives us this ground to come into a relationship with him and to share that ground with others. And the Lord makes that clear in the Christmas story. If you want to look to Luke chapter 1, the first thing I want us to see, and again, I'm a good way into the sermon already, but the first thing I want us to see is this, that God displays the value of relational impact, how? Through closeness with Elizabeth for Mary. In Luke chapter 1, what's happened there is that Elizabeth and Zacharias, they don't have any children. And they've gone, Elizabeth is advanced in years, and physically speaking, she's not going to have any children. The angel announces to Zacharias a miraculous birth. You're going to have John the Baptist, your wife. And then we get to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 and following there to verse 36, where that angel Gabriel comes to Mary. And we read, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But verse 29, she was greatly troubled. This is going to be a troubling moment for Mary. And the angel says to her in verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." He's going to be great. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the coming one. But for Mary, what does she say in verse 34? "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" This is, she's standing on, she's had a Christmas landing. Right? In other words, God has created ground for her to understand her place in the Christmas story, but it's ground that she's standing on alone with God, but not with anybody else. Who else could possibly understand that she's a virgin and she's going to be what? Well, the angel tells her what's going to happen, right? Verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." Mary's told by the angel, the Spirit is going to hover over you, and miraculously, supernaturally, The Son of God is going to become flesh within your womb. Wonderful. But who else is standing on that landing spot with her? Nobody. Who's going to believe her? Right? She's all alone. But what does God do? He sends a relationship. He points her to a relationship, right, of closeness based on what? Common experience. Verse 36, the angel says, "Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." And it's no wonder in verse 39 we read, "At this time Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to go see" who? Elizabeth. Because God has now made that patch of ground a piece of ground that Mary can share with Elizabeth and make her joy complete. In the summer, we were at a picnic at the Ginian's house. We announced today the engagement of Teddy Chandler and Samantha Thompson. That picnic was celebrating the college graduations, but the engagement of Dylan Suplee to Maggie Ginian, right? It's neat to see church families get connected through marriage. But when we were at that picnic, my dad was in conversation with Pastor Greg's grandmother. And they were just stunned, as they were sharing details of what? My dad and Pastor Greg's grandmother grew up on opposite ends of the block in Kensington. They were the same age. She was a public school kid. He was a Catholic school kid. He was on the top end of the block. She was on the bottom end of the block. They never knew each other with all those row homes in between. But they knew the block. They knew the neighborhood. And they were just sharing, oh, in this corner store and that person's business and how we used to do this and how that, you know. And they were just, each time one of them would say something, the other one would go, yeah, and remember, you know, just this common experience. I've rejoiced in seeing how God's done that in our church family, right? I've seen some of you, your parent is now battling dementia or Alzheimer's, and someone else in the congregation is able to say, hey, I've been there. I know what it's like to come into the room and your mom doesn't know who you are, right? That sense of relationship that we can't forfeit, right? I've seen it where someone in the church, a woman in our church, gets breast cancer. How do I minister to a woman who's had breast cancer? I can't understand that experience, right? I pray and care. But what's valuable? Another woman who's been through the journey coming alongside and saying, hey, here's what to expect. Here's what's going to come in the journey, right? Sometimes it's a guy who's lost his job, and the best person for him to talk to is another guy who was out of work for a while. And hey, I know the pressures, I know the struggles, I know that common experience. God displays the value of relational impact to Mary through closeness with Elizabeth. But there's a second thing. God shows the value of relational impact through reconciliation with Joseph. If you look at Matthew's gospel, chapter 1, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 there, we read, "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly." And don't get used to the Christmas story. Stop and pause and think about all the pain in that verse. That's a painful verse for both of them. How long did it last? We're not told how many days unfolded with Joseph and Mary weeping separately over the breakup of their engagement, their betrothal. We know that Mary is aching over Joseph's lost trust in her. How could he trust me? How could he possibly understand that for the first time in human history here, God has placed a child in the womb of a virgin, right? Mary's aching over it, and she knows her innocence is not believed. Greta and I were watching a series, I think it's on Netflix, but about Richard Jewell, the guy who was accused of the Olympic bombing in Atlanta years ago, and how the FBI, how the media, how they all turned on him, and how he'd go outside and people would be, hostile toward him. And he was innocent. But they had turned everyone against him, and him just saying to his mom, I nobody believes me, but I didn't do it. Whew. Mary, what she's experiencing. Joseph, the kindness we're reading about him, in that he doesn't go on the social media just to blast Mary to as many people as he can and get as many comments back. Joseph, that's horrible what she did. He's aching, he's hurting that she's betrayed him, but he's going to seek to handle it lovingly and privately. A lot of shed tears, I have no doubt, between the two of them. And then what does God do? God does what? He makes that Christmas landing, that patch of ground, he makes it a little bit bigger. So now it's not only for Mary and Elizabeth, but now Joseph gets to be part of it. Through what? Reconciliation. Verse 20, when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Verse 24, Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife. And just like you need to stop at verse 19 and feel the pain, there's so much more in verse 24, right? Oh, you know the truth now. Yes, I do. Oh, the incredible sense. Imagine what Joseph and Mary now experienced. God has cleared the ground for a Christmas landing for us, that our joy would be made complete as they celebrate Christmas together. In verse 25, he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. Reconciliation. God displays the value of relational impact with Elizabeth through reconciliation with Joseph, but thirdly, through the introduction of strangers. Through the introduction of strangers. If you look at Luke's Gospel chapter 2, right? The passage that we'll read again on Christmas Eve, because we never grow weary reading it, right? But in Luke chapter 2, verses 12 to 19, as it unfolds, but in verse 12, the shepherds are told what? And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. The angels are saying to the shepherds, this is going to be a sign to you. In other words, you need to go see this. You need to go find the baby and be there with them. And there's great rejoicing, and they do. Verse 15, it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. In verse 16, they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. I love the manger scene we have and the reminder of the lives, the relationships that were brought into the story. Sometimes when we see it acted out in a video or film, it's kind of Mary and Joseph there, nice and warm and glowing, and the shepherds come and welcome into our little stable. I think that's not realistic. If you've seen the movie, the videos that have been put out, the Chosen series, and the initial one regarding the shepherd, I think they do a much more realistic job in dramatizing that, because when the shepherds come in, what happens? Mary immediately puts her arm over the baby. Joseph steps in front of them and puts her hands up. Why? Because these strangers are barging in to this very vulnerable moment. Of course, when you delivered your child in that hospital delivery room, what you were thinking was, I wish a whole bunch of strangers would just pack this room right now and come on. No, of course not, right? The medical people may be strangers, but they're like ghosts. Who cares what they see, right? They're so used to it. Most of us, we don't have any inhibitions about that, whatever. But to have strangers in, the response, and yet they say what in verse 17? When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. They're saying, no, here's why we're here. The angels told us to come surround you. Think about that. God says, I want to enlarge that piece of ground. I want to make that Christmas landing big enough that strangers can now be brought in to share that joy. And I think about when Mary hears those words, how quickly her feelings change, right? Have you ever been, you could be overseas, and you're in a strange land, and you meet someone and you realize they're a born-again Christian. And all of a sudden, hey, the ground has melted, and that barrier, that stranger, it's no longer a stranger. And for Mary to realize the angels sent these strangers because they want my son, God wants my son to land in their lives. Imagine her joy being made more complete as she thought, how many strangers are going to be invited into this landing relationship with God the Father through my son, Jesus the Christ. I think about that and it's just stunning to me, right? Oh, the meaningful impact of relationships. Relationships. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, what does Jesus say to us there? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You're not here to just stay alive. You're here to love other people. In Romans chapter 12, what does the Apostle Paul say, right? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7, Paul says, wherefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. In the New Testament, there are 59 different one another's. Serve one another, forgive one another, be considerate of one another. Over and over, what? Relational impact. That's why you're here. You're not here just to stay alive. Child of God, you're here to grow in your relationship with God, but to grow in your relationship with others, to allow that Christmas landing to get larger and let your joy be made more complete as you share. Let Christmas remind you of what it reminded the Apostle John. Does it mean we abolish, as I said, any distancing? No. If we're in some distancing for a time and humbly we're displaying our value of other people by certain precautions, wonderful. But while we're in the midst of that, we have to stay intentional about our impact on each other. So maybe for you, it's finding a way, Lord, how can I display a closeness with someone through our common experience? Maybe it's simply sending a Christmas card to someone. Every time I open a Christmas card from someone in our church, it's like a Christmas landing. A little A little place has been provided for me to read that card, and I share a common experience with them of the joy of Christmas. Maybe for you, it's looking at our prayer sheet, and you see somebody who's experiencing something that you've been through. And it may not be comfortable for you. It may not be easy for you. But you decide to give them a call and just say, hey, I want you to know I've been there. I'm not God's gift to the world, although you are God's gift to how he wants to use you. But if there's any way I can help, right? To be intentional about the value of closeness through common experience. Maybe God wants you to be intentional about the value of closeness through reconciliation. Maybe there's a relationship that's been severed. Now, it may be that you've had to cut off a relationship because that person is going in a direction that is not where God wants you to go, and it would only take you down. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about maybe somebody hurt your feelings. Maybe you didn't get invited somewhere. Maybe you were overlooked. Maybe they gave them a bigger gift than they gave you. And inside that, if they want to talk to me, they can reach out to me. Maybe God's saying to you, hey, don't build this cocoon of personal survival. Don't let all the warnings, which are good, and the precautions, don't let them shift the foundational purpose of why you're here. You're not here for personal survival. You're here for relational impact. Find a way to create a landing place, a Christmas landing, to reconcile with that person and invite them in. They may not join you, but you offer that. Maybe it's someone in your life that you see, Lord, is there a way that I can help the two of them find a landing place, a Christmas place to reconcile? Maybe God wants you to be sitting during this time and saying, what stranger, Lord, do you want me to impact? It may be your neighbor. They may have moved in 3 years ago and you still haven't met them. And in this time of isolation, maybe God's telling you, hey, it's time for you to go over, take a little gift over to them, put a little Christmas card or something, tap on the door, wave, get out of your comfort zone. Respect distances, but be intentional about relationships. Maybe the stranger is that God wants you to go on our prayer sheet online and pray over our missionaries. I don't know who they are. Just pray over them. Maybe he's wanting you to, maybe he's giving you resources to reach a stranger. You may not meet that stranger till you're in heaven, but you're going to provide meals for a child in Rwanda through Compassion International. You're going to provide some encouragement to a Christian in a Muslim country through Open Doors Ministry. You're going to provide the gospel to some lost individual in Cambodia through Reach a Village. These are all just different ministries that by the grace of God, the Lord's allowed us to say, Lord, touch a stranger through the resources you've given us. The point I'm making is what? Remember why we're here. We're living in a time of disconnect and distance. It is not a time where your life is supposed to be on hold. Be intentional about relational impact, because God never stops. As a matter of fact, if you look at John chapter 19, years later, as Jesus is on the cross, what's he still doing? He's still looking to find a landing place for his dear mother, Mary. Just as the Father provided Elizabeth and Joseph and the strange shepherds, in John chapter 19 and verse 25, we read, therefore the soldiers did these things, but they were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is on the cross. He's being crucified. And he looks down and he sees his mother, whose husband Joseph has passed away, whose other children don't believe in Jesus. They think he's a nut. They think their mother's a nut for believing in him. Jesus looks down and sees her. He sees John there, and he says, I want to create a Christmas landing for them. I want to give them a place where they can share. Let their joy be made complete. Whew. He's always looking to do that for us. As we close here, I encourage you, how is God calling you to be intentional about relational impact, about impacting other lives? It has to continue in the midst of the circumstances we're in. But I want to close by reminding you, God remains that way with you. Maybe you've never come into a relationship with God. God wants to give you a Christmas landing today. He wants to provide that ground for you to meet him. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're watching us online. The God of all creation wants you to know, unto you is born that day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The God of all creation says, I don't care how thick you think that cold layer of your sin is. My son came to this earth to pierce it for you, that we might bow our hearts before Almighty God and have that Christmas landing in us. Would you bow with me before the Lord? Maybe that's you, and what you hear God's voice calling out to you. God is saying to you right now, this is your time. Come to faith in Jesus. Won't you simply pray that prayer? Oh, Lord God, I recognize my sin separates me from you, but I thank you, Lord, that you came to provide a Christmas landing for me. You came and landed on this earth. You came to provide a patch of ground where my feet could stand and I could humbly bow before you. And I do that now, Lord God. I confess my sin. I bow before you and I put all my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Oh God, make me your child. Lord, I come to the manger. I come to the Christmas landing. And I humbly kneel and I ask you, oh God, forgive me, save me, make me your child forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.